when the Ashar were read and the translation and now Manana Musa read from the Kitab, close to 50 times Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name came. And we are ordered that when we hear Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name, we should say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ask ourselves for now, did I read one time Durood Sharif? Of the 50 times, and Allah make me maaf, but it's my duty also, I just looked around and I see that nobody's lips were moving. All must be reading in their heart. So if we are not reading Durood Sharif, ulama have written the closest to Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the muhaddithin. Because in their teaching, learning of hadith all the time, the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes repeatedly. And every time that they say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on account of that. But if we don't say that, and howl out warnings that my name is taken in front of somebody and he doesn't read durood. And that we still thinking that we are pious, we got khilafat, I'm a sheikh, and I'm not even reading durood sharif star. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, we should be reading durood sharif. And read it with passion, with love. Not just like a forced we are now, we have to read durood sharif. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. And tawfiq to check ourselves on all our matters. We just take for granted we are okay. And not only okay, we are right on top, we are flying. Only Allah, Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi, rahmatullahi alayhi, is written, there are very many like ordinary people, nobody recognizes them as anything, but they are sahib-e-nisbat, they are high their position. And there are many who think they are sahib-e-nisbat, but they are nothing at all. So let us not be deceived by just getting khilafat, or we are coming majlis or something like that. Let us see what is my condition. And a person who doesn't even think of his condition, do we think of what my condition is at night before going to sleep, any time, or we just carrying on? A person who's not even like concerned, where is he on the path? He's not even on the path. He hasn't even taken his car out of the garage and he's not on the road also. And he's hoping that I'm at my destination. And he's boasting to everyone, I've reached my destination. But he's hardly come on the road still. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا صدق الله مولانا العظيم. With regard to our talk of iman, as we have mentioned in this ayat, Allah is telling to the believers, believe. So logically it is we believe in, how can we still believe? The reality of the matter is that bring reality in your iman. Like the Bedouin said, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا, we have brought iman. Allah said, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا يَمَنْ وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا, say we have submitted. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, when iman will enter your hearts, then you can say that we have brought iman. One sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, كَيْفَ أَصْبَحْت, how's your morning, how did you get up? And all that was not how we will ask, how's your health, how's your finances, how's your family, how's your iman, how's your amal. He say, asbahtu mu'mina, I got up as a mu'min. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, what is the proof of you, that you're saying that you have got iman? So that is what we must have. This iman must be a reality in our lives. May Allah bring it into us, etc. And we make effort that we are conscious and we have this iman in us. In that we discussed iman billah, and that also was very hardly the tip of the iceberg. There is so much of detail that is just the knowledge, and knowledge is not what is iman. Knowledge is when that iman is when iman comes in a person, not that he knows about iman. There are many Jews and Christians who have written books on iman from Islamic point of view, but they don't bring iman. So iman is something else. And then, so iman on Allah. Then last week we discussed, well, amantu billahi wa malaikatihi, the malaika. That a person has iman on the malaika. And that will mean that he negates what he sees with his eyes. That things are growing on the farms, things are being made in factories, things are being sold in the shops. There's the doctor with his surgery, there's the hospital, the medicine. Now the malaika are doing everything. So even that, let us think, does that come to me, the thought that Allah has appointed malaika to do all this work? And this whole system of the world, asbab, is means that is there, Allah made it. But in one aspect, all that is a test for us. That are you going to bring iman on those things, or iman you are going to bring on the reality that Allah has made the system and Allah has ordered the malaika and they are making everything. When we, for example, when we eat, how many of us even read our Bismillah or observe the other sunnahs also when eating? But the first thing is, when we are eating, first correct our aqidah, our beliefs. That this food is not filling my stomach. That Allah fills my stomach. And this food wasn't grown by the farmer. It wasn't made in the factory. It wasn't sold in the shop. The malaika worked. That reality must come into us. When we sleep, that it isn't the sleep that it's not that I'm going to get sleep. It's all in Allah's hands, whether we're going to sleep or we're going to spend the night awake or the night in difficulty, that we have upset stomach or we have some big worries on our minds. It's all in Allah's hands. And then the sleep which Allah has made, Allah, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ وَالَّذِي جَعَلَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا. Allah made the night that is so conducive for sleeping that automatically the cars are not moving, the phone is not ringing, things are quiet, it's cool at night, conducive for sleep. And the night, the sleep Allah has made so that you get refreshed again. Sometimes you are so exhausted, you don't want to think also, and you just fall asleep. After that you get up, you're fresh again. And you can do, your body is active again, your mind is active again. Who made all that? Allah Ta'ala. And with this yaqeen, that the sleep is not that thing that gives me my rest, to refresh me. It's only the command of Allah. How many times a person has a proper full sleep, but he's more tired in the morning. And sometimes you didn't sleep the whole night and you are surprised. I'm so fresh. It's all in Allah's hands. So that yaqeen on the system of the malaika which are here all the time. And then after that, the second is make niyat. That also seldom we make. Why am I eating? Eating for Allah's pleasure. And I'm eating what Allah has permitted me to eat. That will also easily regulate what things we are eating. So surprising and so sad to learn, Allah brings it to attention, whether it is somebody writes and informs, that our good friends still buying takeaway things, who we don't expect at all, if not anything else, then at least the chips from there. Just to make us happy, we are also buying from the takeaways. And the chips, while we are on it, Saudi Arabia many years and India complained to Kentucky that the chips they are selling, they're fried chips, which is fried in lard, in pig or fat. So to make it short, they did not even apologize to Saudi Arabia. To India they apologized. And they said, we won't do. Now they're selling, I don't know what the story now, but that time the report, half fried, it comes from there. And the other half you fry it here, the outlet. So what is that half fried also? What is it coming like? And we think, well, it's only chips, what's it? And that why are you being so petty and so the small things and that also. But how sad that we still are buying things from these outlets. And these are all predominantly Jewish things. We supporting the Jews. We are saying we can't live without you. You can do what you want to the Palestinians, and we can't even imagine what terrible crimes they are committing. And we are supporting those crimes. And just for the taste on our tongue and just for being happy, we are supporting all those crimes indirectly. So anyway, so all this year, we make the niyyah to please Allah. And for anyone to know that niyyat, normally we doubt ourselves, is my niyyat right or not? Is it sincere? Simple way to test if we are doing it for Allah's sake, we'll do it how Allah wants us to do it. And so Allah, we are eating for Allah's sake, we'll eat halal. If we are eating for Allah's sake, we won't eat in Ramzan in Roza. We'll eat how Allah. We won't sit at the table. We'll eat how Allah wants us to eat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to actually mostly sit in the squatting position. And so it was just, the meal was not one elaborate issue and matter. Just how you just go to toilet, you squat and you just relieve yourself. Like that, just sit down. And actually that was, if you'll see, how these laborers, especially these construction laborers, when they just get the little break of 10 minutes for their tea break, that's the time, it's their brunch. Their breakfast also they are having in the 10 minutes and their lunch also. And they just eat just like simple. And that is actually how a mu'min should be. But how we sit at the breakfast, we can't have our breakfast till we don't sit at the breakfast nook. That little more higher table on the higher chairs we sit. Then only we can have breakfast. We sit on the floor and have our breakfast. So if we do it for Allah's sake, we'll do it according to Sunnah. And after that now comes the adab. Say Bismillah before eating. Wash your hands before eating. At night read your du'as before going to sleep. And then we can see in those basic things still how far we are from where we're supposed to start. We haven't even started still. And the sad part is we think we completed the race. And I'm gone right in front. I've beaten all in the race. And we have hardly started the race. Right? Like a race that starts, the starting point and the winning post is the same. You start and you go front and you come back and you reach there again. So we just went two steps back and we're already there. We didn't even start the race and we say we won the race. While the other steps are starting to warm up, we are already at the winning post. Allah give us tawfiq and let us. So Allah give us tawfiq. And then the third point that is mentioned in the in our iman mufassar, and that also at least just the words also, let us read them once. If we read it at night before going to sleep, very good. Otherwise, whenever. The amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi, the whole iman mufassal. How many of us perhaps have forgotten it also? Take the trouble to learn it again. And it isn't just the words, the meaning. And not only the meaning, the reality has to come into us. And that we have to, our iman must be made according to that. And it's a lifelong mission. And the only way we'll reach the winning post is at the time of mort. If we are told, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, Ya ibadi la khawfun alaykum wa la antum tahzanun, alladhi amanu bi ayatina wa kanu muslimin, udkhulul jannata antum wa azwajukum tuhbarun. That wonderful, then we will know that we were successful. Unfortunately, just like the people of the world, which are predominantly the kuffar, we also measure our success according to dunya's life. I've got a paid off house, I've got my car, I've got two cars in the house, everyone got a cell phone, all the things of this dunya, how they living their life, holidays, we also go for holidays, so I'm successful. Whereas success, the measurement of success is something completely else. We are using the wrong ruler to measure also. How are we going to get the right result? When decimal system came into South Africa, first was the British system, and then it was illegal by law then. They outlawed the British old system. So people get into the new system, the decimal system. And it was illegal to measure things in inches, feet, etc. You had to use the new decimal system. So we are using the wrong ruler. We are using the wrong system to measure ourselves. So what's the condition of that person? Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon us and guide us to righteousness. So, and then the third thing, Aamantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi. Kutub, the plural of kitab. The kutub that are referred, the heavenly books Allah Ta'ala revealed. The Torah, Injil, Zabur, and the Psalms, many others which Allah revealed, and finally the Quran Sharif. And the Quran Sharif is the greatest way to have that iman. All the contents of the previous kitabs, Allah has put it into the Quran Sharif. So we have got the greatest kitab. And this kitab, which is more greater than the Torah and the Zabur and the Injil put together, the question of university textbooks and other textbooks and things like that, manuals, how to do this, how to do that, where can that ever compare to the Quran Sharif? And this great kitab, Allah Ta'ala sent it down, every ayat, Jibreel, the greatest of all the malaika, he should come with it. And how many malaika should come down with it also. So it wasn't just a small little thing, just the ayat was being revealed. It was a great, great thing, and how Allah protected it when sending it down. And when it came to Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, Allah Ta'ala took the responsibility himself only for the Quran Sharif, for no other kitab. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr, we have sent it down. Wa nahnu wa inna lahu lahafidhun, and we are the ones who will protect it. So nobody in the world will ever be able to change the Quran. In their mind, they might change what they want, what they have printed. And they've made some new Quran Sharif. But the Quran Sharif of Allah, which Allah is going to protect it. And it will be protected till Qiyamah. Fortunate are those people who learn it. And who the words, the recitation, the qiraat, the huruf, the tajweed, the makharij, and then the meaning. And more of all that, the real purpose is the amal. And that is the where the Sufiya and Tasawwuf who bring the amal on the Quran Sharif into life. The one is that the words of the Quran, they are learned in the maktab. The meaning are learned in the Darul Ulooms. Then amal generally in our times is the field of tabligh and da'wah. A person goes jamaat, he starts practicing. And the ruh, the spirit of it, that is in the khanqas. So Allah will keep that. Though the numbers will keep on dwindling, and when finally there is no one left like that, then immediately Qiyamah will come in. Because Allah, the whole world system is running for the deen of Allah, where Allah's name is taken, Allah's zikr is being made for that. When nobody is left like that, and the numbers we can see are getting all the time, less all the time. When finally there will be nobody left, even just to take the name of Allah. Even that much won't be left, then Allah Ta'ala will bring Qiyamah. So anyway, let us see that what is our iman on the kitab of Allah Ta'ala, on the Quran Sharif. How much do we regard it as the greatest kitab? Do we regard it as the today, all on our cell phones, how to do this, do that. On the cell phone we'll go for help here. And how to sort out this here, and how to do this work here. What is our attachment with Quran Sharif? Is it 1% of the what we got with the cell phone? Is it 5% what we have got with the cell phone? How much of our attachment to the Quran Sharif? As we are sitting here, today's day that has passed, how much of Quran Sharif have we read today? Every one of us think, did I read my Quran Sharif today? And each one must have his wazifa of reading at least perhaps 2-3 rukus to make khatam of one Quran during the year, and to read our whole Quran Sharif, one supara, quarter supara. One very good friend of ours, very wealthy and in the gold business, and very busy also, and mashallah, hafiz the Quran. So I asked him, your Taraweeh you make every year? He said, of course, I make every year, I made my Taraweeh. Then how do you manage? You are so busy, if you don't read whole year, Taraweeh, the hafiz knows if he doesn't read in the year, when the Ramzan comes, then he has ulcers, or his sugar doesn't have, and he has all excuses, lot of excuses. How? You say, no big deal. 1 hour after Fajr, I read my 3 suparas every day. So 3 suparas, and there are many people who read so much of Quran Sharif. So let us see how much of Quran Sharif am I reading. Did I read my Quran Sharif? Then there are certain surahs, certain ayat that have got special virtues. Have I read that? Did I read my Yasin today? Did I read my Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Tabarak Alladhi? And if we read Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Tabarak Alladhi between Maghrib and Isha, we get the sawab of Laylatul Qadr. So every night we can get that sawab. Did I read it? Did I read my Ayatul Kursi? A person who after his namazes reads Ayatul Kursi, there is nothing that stops him from entering Jannat but maut. The soon as he dies, he enters into Jannat. And that is so great and virtuous, and there are other amal like that in our deen. More than we know how to do this on the phone and how to do that on the phone, these are the things that we should know. So, Bhai Amin Marhum was the Amir of Karachi, of Tabligh Jamaat, because they were in Delhi. So anyway, his wife had passed away many years ago now. We had the good fortune when we went in Jamaat at home. Appa met with them, all the ladies of Karachi, etc. But anyway, so when she passed away, her son had become an alim also, and he was teaching in Binnuri town. He saw his mother in a dream, in the form of a beautiful green bird, and that she was in Jannat. So, like when their eyes met in the dream, they recognized that this is my mother, this is my son. And they had a conversation. His mother said that all we used to read always when you die, then munkar nakir, how your maut come in the qabar, munkar nakir, qiyamat day. He said, yeah, we saw, we just came straight into Jannat. So this is reading Ayatul Kursi, nothing blocks you from entering Jannat but maut. You just die and you are in Jannat already. So Allah has made such amal for us. And how fortunate those people. But have I read my Ayatul Kursi today even one time? Surah Fatiha has got so much of virtue. Did I read my Surah Fatiha? So we are still very weak in the very basic thing. And the weakest is, and the worst is, we think we are strong. And we think we are very good. A person, and Islam of a person can never start until Tawbah Istighfar. And not just by name, just reading Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, realizing I'm wrong, I'm bad. And very fortunate it comes in the hadith, is that person whom Allah opens on him his weaknesses and his gunas. And then we realize I'm bad, and we start correcting ourselves. That is a fortunate person whom Allah Ta'ala blesses with that. So Allah Ta'ala, that through the Quran Sharif, the daily, and more than the recitation, the first is that conviction on the Quran. It's the kitab of Allah. It is our only book of guidance. And the other all, Sihah Sitta, Bukhari, Sharif, Muslim, are the explanation of the Quran Sharif. The Quran is our kitab of guidance. When we have any matter, it can be my personal, just some matter, and now I have to sort it out in my mind. Do I think, sort it out with my mind, or do I try and go to Quran Sharif and sort it out with Quran Sharif? What does Quran say on this matter? All our matters, the Quran is the solution. Fortunate are those people, like that one woman in Karachi, who had a Quran Sharif in her kitchen, Quran Sharif in her bedroom, Quran Sharif in her garden. And when somebody went and visited, then they felt a bit awkward that the Quran Sharif, like in the kitchen, oil marks on it when she's cooking or something, and like it's not like respected so properly. And that also, we get the idea, I respect Quran Sharif. I look after my Quran Sharif. And anyone else whose Quran Sharif is a bit torn or something, this person doesn't look after Quran Sharif. But then when she found out at the end, she made Tawbah Istighfar. The connection with Quran Sharif was with that woman. I haven't got. One is you keep your kitabs neatly packed. And you think that I look after my kitabs very well. And one is a person who is engrossed with his kitabs. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Quran Sharif pages should get torn. So much he used to read. If you don't read Quran Sharif, you won't even get that mark. Every person has got some sweat on his finger. And the more you read, you'll see little black marks there on the pages. So that is the person, that shows that person is reading the Quran Sharif. One time, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi visited one of his students. And where they were sitting, he had his kitabs also. And like today's students, they take particular pride when they buy a kitab of 10 volumes on one subject, 15 volumes, 5 volumes. Then today they are printed also, that on the side, they are, when you pack them, then it forms one whole message, one whole. The name of the kitab is written. So everything was neatly packed. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib, in his particular unique way, rubbed his hands. He said, MashaAllah, nobody ever touches you people. You are kept so safe here in glass, in a glass shelves with glass over it. No dust comes to you. Nobody ever touches you also. In other words, he gave an indication that kitabs are to be handled. And those of us who had the good fortune of seeing those people, like Sheikh Yunus John Puri, rahmatullah alayh, of Saharanpur, it was famous. It was what comes in the Ash'ar, kitab ke warak ban jaye kafan apna. That, oh Allah, let the pages of the kitabs become our kafan. In other words, we so much involved with kitabs. You wake up, you're looking for this kitab, and with all the kitabs, it seems that it's all disorganized, but you know where your kitab is. So much so, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion, he came for the Bukhari Khatam in Newcastle. Then there was some discussion at night, some talks, and that time Mufti Sahib had lost his eyesight already. So he asked for Tirmizi Sharif, the one kitab. As they put it in his hand, he said, this is not Tirmizi. He was blind, but he could feel it, the kitab, and this is not the right kitab. So that connection with our kitabs, and that the kitabs, they, Maulana, no, of Tioman, who was the, of Azamgarh, who was also the, no, Khair. There was this great ustad also of Dioban. He was also Sheikh. He taught Bukhari Sharif in his time. And alhamdulillah, we went there, visited him in his room. He was busy making his mutala after Maghrib. And only kitabs all around him. That's a sign of an alim. But today, alims also got dressing showcases of all the other things around them. Alim and all the showcases, the equation just doesn't fit in at all. Alim must be connected with kitabs all the time. One our great alim's wife told that alim, these kitabs of yours are worse than 100 co-wives to me. Mm. Like you have a co-wife, the other wife gets cross on this wife. And you must not talk anything good about this wife. Don't give her any extra time or spend money on her. She said, you with your kitabs, these kitabs are a headache for me. You got no time for me. You only in your kitabs. That is what is an alim. So anyway, how much have we got that the kitab, Quran, is our main kitab? What connection? So much so, ask ourselves that today did I touch the Quran? Or did I see the Quran Sharif? Did I even see the copy of the Quran? Did I even touch the Quran? And yet we claim ourselves ardent lovers of the Quran. We are the ones who uphold the Quran. And we have hardly touched the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif must be our kitab. And then the knowledge of the Quran Sharif, this yaqeen must be that all the uloom of the world is in the Quran Sharif. And those then who work towards that, they will find the knowledge of the Quran Sharif. For example, the one Canadian doctor who had written a book on the formation of a child in the womb of the mother. And from medical sources, all the knowledge they have of gynecology, all the x-ray machines, saunas, all that they have, he wrote the whole thing. And then he appealed at the end of the book, if there's anyone who knows anything else about this, how the child is formed, but not from a medical point of view. He said that we have got everything from any other source. So a Malaysian doctor wrote to him all the references of the ayats of the Quran, and not one, two. How many ayats that how Allah had made the child. When he read that, he was totally taken aback. He brought iman. And he said that how perfectly, how correctly, how much in detail the Quran has explained the formation of the child in the womb of the mother, which was revealed over 1400 years ago, when the word gynecology didn't exist, when there were no x-ray machines, nothing, and perfectly the Quran explained it. So that is what the Quran, it has got all that ulum about the oceans. It's a big subject. The science of the ocean, that how the waters are, etc. And the Quran has explained that how the oceans meet one another, the seven oceans, but the waters don't mix with one another. Anyone can go to Cape Town and where the Atlantic Ocean meets with the Indian Ocean. And on the Indian Ocean side, the water is warm. And on the Atlantic, the water is cold. And the water seems to be mixing with one another. But they just come and go back again. They don't mix with one another. River water, which is sweet, where rivers flow into the sea. The river water, its density, its specific gravity, all is completely different to the sea water. They don't mix also with one another. Water is with water, but it's not. To us, it looks like they are mixing. But if you analyze it, they're not. All this knowledge is in the Quran Sharif. Everything. So is that Quran in front of me like that? And do I devote myself? Have I got that yaqeen, the love of the Quran? We got no connection. So when we say, Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi, the kitabs of Allah, the Quran Sharif must be there. And our connection, and our, the Quran Sharif, when we'll go in the qabr, what's going to help us? It's the Quran Sharif. And if we threw it behind our back, and the Quran is going to fight court cases against us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to lay the charge. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهَجُورًا. Oh Allah, my people, إِنَّ قَوْمِ, my people, they've made the Quran, they ignored the Quran. Like it doesn't exist in their lives. And the Quran will lay charges, and nobody will be able to. You can come with your QC, you can come with your top level lawyers, anyone, you'll never be able to fight the case or the charges. And Allah will uphold the claims of the Quran Sharif. And the Quran Sharif will take people right into Jannah, and take people and throw them into Jahannam. What is my position? Allah, have I got that iman in connection with the Quran Sharif? Quran Sharif must be the foremost thing, the most super, the most important, the most thing that I give the most attention. And how fortunate are those people who read Quran? Ana al-layl wa ana al-nahar, day and night. And a very easy way where we all can do that is try and be in the masjid. The ladies, when azan goes, be on your musalla. Make your sunnahs, and then after the sunnahs, read Qatir Supara. Read 2-3 pages. So every namaz you do that, you'll be included in those who are ana al-layl wa ana al-nahar. And what great virtues for those people. Allah has taken qasam, and the Quran Sharif is the greatest interceder by Allah Ta'ala. More greater than the anbiya. More greater than namaz, because the Quran is from Allah, it's a sifat of Allah. And namaz, Allah has commanded the namaz. And namaz also is that great command also, which Allah did not make for us on the earth. Allah called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Mi'raj and made namaz for us, not only by the arsh of Allah, but that close place where no farishta. Around the arsh, a lot of malaika making tawaf all the time. Jibreel alayhi salam, who's got access to the very closeness of Allah, but that closeness to Allah where Jibreel alayhi salam could not go also. And then there Allah made namaz faraz for us. And Allah made 50 namazes a day for us. And Allah reduced it to 5. And Allah said, who makes 5 will get the sawab of 50. So today if we make our 5 times namaz, and namaz also is not just up and down, and kissing the ground and back to town. Namaz is a reality. How much are we making our namaz? But more greater than namaz is the intercession of the Quran Sharif, which from Allah Ta'ala is a sifat of Allah Ta'ala. So that is the greatest. But what is my connection? How much am I connected to Quran Sharif? So Allah give us tawfiq to have our yaqeen, iman on the Quran Sharif. And how much that iman and yaqeen will be, so much our amal will be. Then there will be tilawat. Then we'll give preference to the practice of the Quran Sharif over all other practices. Or all other, it can be science books, maths books, geography, biology, whatever it can be. Quran is the most superior kitab. That it will be. And then we'll be joint with the Quran Sharif. And then we will be making tilawat also. And fortunate is that person who gets enjoyment in reading the Quran Sharif. Allah puts a test that when we want to start, we'll see we just read 2 ayats and we feel sleepy. And now I just can't keep my eyes open. I don't know what's happening. But just be at it. And then you'll see whenever you read Quran, your eyes open up. At the moment is the opposite. When you want to read Quran, eyes close. And you open your cell phone just to see that is my alarm set right. And before you know what, 2 hours you are bright on the cell phone. How where 2 hours went, you don't know. And where did sleep of yours, where it vanished, you don't know. Allah give the Quran Sharif in that place. That we love the Quran, we read the Quran Sharif, and the Quran becomes our guiding star. Quran becomes our GPS. It takes us on our road, on our destination. The Quran Sharif is the source for our amal. The Quran Sharif is the source for our solace. When we want peace and we are looking somebody to talk to, we find that in the Quran Sharif. When we want to be close to somebody, like in du'as, which are called du'as, not just customary, what we make. When you are really close to Allah, and you find that in the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif, the subject matter is so great. The ayats, how they are connected with one another. The surahs, how they are connected with one another. As all that Allah opens on a person, his bosom, his heart bursts open with joy. And he can't contain himself. As the ulum of the Quran, like Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri, on many occasions, reading Quran Sharif, our Shaykh says he used to read from tahajjud time, after tahajjud, right through till fajr time. And his method of reading, that after every 5-10 ayat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yeah, Hazrat used to explain it like the pressure cooker or a steam engine, where if the steam builds up too much and you don't release it, it will burst. So they hit to that steam that built up of the love, the greatness, the enjoyment of the Quran, they had to release that steam. So Allah, 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 Allah. Who can say that? Where we can even think of it? When we reading Quran, we got no idea. Our hearts are off, half sleepy. We're not interested. Where can we get that? Those who will be in the Quran Sharif, they will have that as they read every 10-15 hours. Allah, 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 Allah. That enjoyment, that closeness of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah make the Quran come into our lives. So let us work towards that also. Allah give us all tawfiq.